First of all, I have some handouts that are on the tables. Those are helpful tip handouts that have to do with writing legislators. It also includes our latest legislative alert that's on our website that just happens to have the members of the Senate committees that most affect education, except for the Senate Finance Committee, which is about half of the Senate. It also has a link in there that you can go to find all of the people on all of the Senate committees. I wanted you to have that information and I can talk about that. So here's what I'd like to do in the next 45 minutes. My name is Brock Gregg. I'm the Governmental Relations Director for the Association of Texas Professional Educators. This session is not about ATPE, but it does come from materials that I use to present to ATPE, and that's who I work for. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about how we do our advocacy business, because that's the context that I understand things in. So I am not a computer educator, and I'm not very computer literate. In fact, Google Earth scares me really badly, because I'm afraid that someone can look inside my bedroom, and that scares me. And I think that's wrong, okay? So I have a PowerPoint here that I'd like to go through, but really what I'd like to do is answer your questions, have a discussion with you about what you know about advocacy and why it's important for public education and specifically for what you do for public education. I do have a copy of your legislative program, and I'd like to talk with you about some issues in there and how you might go about getting the legislature to listen to your issues. We can do that at the end, but I want to go through our PowerPoint here. So I'm going to talk about just basic advocacy in the education arena and how we and how ATPE and our educators go about doing that in the atmosphere at the Texas State Capitol. We do lobby some in Washington, but primarily we lobby here in the State Capitol in Austin. So, okay, and hopefully I'll be able to do this slideshow right. Oops, messed up already. How do you go back? They hit back. Okay. I need help.
I got you.
What do I do?
You need a Mac first.
You just have to hit backspace? Okay. Okay. I've been educated. Actually, advocacy is very easy. It's very simple concepts to figure out and understand. What's complicated about advocacy is the legislative process in some ways and politics in general. That's what's complicated. But advocacy is basically building relationships. And you should feel free to build a relationship. How many of you, let's just start out by asking, have a relationship or have ever met with your local state representative or state senator? Any of you? Okay, so we have experienced people in here. And that's the most important step. Build relationships, and then we're going to talk about developing a legislative program and priorities the way that we do it, developing communication systems, and I noticed that you have an email system that I think you just unveiled that allows your members to contact their legislators. Tell your story, be persistent, but be professional. This is the most important thing to me I'm a member of a family of educators, and it's kind of been drilled into me throughout my life that there is a certain image that professional educators should have, and it's important to me that when we go into the public and advocate for our profession, that we do that in a professional way. And so sometimes persistence can leak over into whining, and we don't want to whine. We get accused of that a lot by the legislature, and that's something that we work very hard not to do. And buy some good shoes. What does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. This is hard work. And I know that you are all on the computer all the time, and you do most of your work electronically, and that's perfectly acceptable and really is becoming the way to advocate these days. Nevertheless, at the beginning of every session, I buy new shoes because I've worn out a pair of shoes in every single legislative session I've ever worked in, just walking around the Capitol. And shoe leather can translate into just general hard work. And it takes a lot of hard work because it is building relationships, and you have 181 members of the legislature. So what you would want to do is focus on your local legislature. So the next slide what are some resources, and these are resources that we have, that we provide to our members. The first one is, you need to have some kind of program or agenda, which you have, and I've read it, and it's concise, and it focuses on a few priorities, and I think that's a really good thing and very important. Then you need to have a lobby team. Now, that can be a group of your members who are volunteers who form a committee. It can be paid staff. I don't know if you have staff for your association. I would suggest that's a good way, even if you just hired someone who was going to report to the Computer Educators Association as a consultant. It's good to have someone who has some knowledge of the process, has some contact with the people who are making the decisions, and can report back to you about what's happening. And then you need some kind of regular communication system, and I don't think that's a problem for you, for your group, with Twitter that I hear about and all the things that you use to communicate with each other. But what I mean by that is a communication system that's dedicated to legislation. So what we use ours for is we give updates to our members regularly on an email network that we call the Legislative Alert Network, and then we send out alerts, and those alerts are what really counts in the legislature. And that's because in education, numbers are our strength. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have million-dollar PACs, political action committees, but what we have are a lot of people. There are 660,000 people that are working currently in public schools in Texas, and there are another 300,000 or more retired educators in Texas. And that's a large group that can make a big difference, especially if everybody is on the same email saying the same thing at the same time. And so that's really important. Let's talk a little bit about individual participation. This is simple. Building relationships with your legislators and your staff. Let's talk about staff, okay? Staff members at the legislature do all the work. Don't ever feel that you're offended if you go to the Capitol someday. For example, ATPE had our lobby day Monday before last. And we had about 350 of our leaders from around the state who came in and had made individual meetings with their House members, and we set up meetings with their senators. And some of them, I think, felt offended if their legislator couldn't be at the meeting. So we had a training beforehand to talk about how you get your message across at the legislature and the most important people to speak to. And it really, you have to understand that legislators, they do a lot of work and they work hard. They're here for 140 days every other year. And I'm not saying they don't work hard, but the people who have the knowledge, who are probably going to be drafting the bills, making sure the bills are done right, meeting with you to get information, are staff members. So building a relationship with your representative staff member, or if you're working with a committee member on the education committee, for example, is as important as having a relationship with your legislator, because they're the people who can get you to the legislator to get you an answer. Respond to action alerts. It's not good enough just to get those emails and then look at them. If we're going to make something happen, we have to do what they ask us to do. I personally believe that phone calls are more effective than emails on an issue. But it depends on the issue and it depends on the time and the session. But do respond to them. Letter writing campaigns do work. Email, we used to tell people not to email their legislators. Because, why? Because you can delete them. And if you get a legislator who receives a letter from a constituent that lives in their district, who's an educator, it's very hard to ignore that letter. And most of them will respond to your letters, but really email, just over the last couple of sessions, has become a very acceptable way to communicate. But please, see that in the parentheses? Please check your spelling. I have many stories that I can tell you of going into legislators' offices and being read back to me letters that teachers have written in that had misspellings in them, bad grammar, and that just makes us all look bad and completely takes away from whatever message you're trying to send. And it's really important that you do that. And after I wrote that, I went through and looked through this presentation about 32 times. So if you find something in here that's misspelled, please point it out to me. Another thing that you can do is provide oral or written testimony if a bill is coming up before a committee. How many people need for me to go through the legislative process? Or most people understand pretty much how it works. A bill is filed, it's referred to a committee in the House or the Senate. The committee then decides, the committee chairman decides, are they going to have a hearing, a public hearing on the bill? Then they have a hearing, then the committee has to vote whether or not to send that bill out. It goes to then the main chamber, the floor of the House or the Senate. If it passes there, then it goes to the other house and goes through the same process. And then there are a bunch of processes in between. That's the process. So if a bill that you're following, let's say that, for example, there's a bill that's been filed by Senator Shapley that increases the technology allotment to $200 over, I believe, 3 or 4 years. I can't remember, but it phases in an increase to the technology allotment. I would imagine that you would be very interested in that bill. I am very interested in it. And so if Senator Shapley's bill gets a hearing in the Senate Education Committee, that's a chance for you to either come down to Austin and actually testify before the committee, or even just write your testimony and send it in. Or send it in with a friend that's going to be testifying, or someone that you know, and they can submit that into the record for you. But as an expert, I mean, that's something that you can do that can really help a committee on a bill that they're trying to make a decision on. Yes, there is. The deadline for filing bills this time is about, I'm probably going to say the wrong date, but I think it's March 15th. It's usually sometime around the middle of March. It's a certain number of days past the day that they start, and I'm sorry, I don't know the exact date, but somewhere in there. And at this point, and they start pre-filing bills, by the way, right after the elections in November. At this point, in education, we're already tracking upwards of 250 separate pieces of legislation. Probably just in the education arena alone, we'll be tracking close to 700 to 800 bills by the end of this session. And when I say tracking, by the way, we subscribe to a service that is very similar to the service you have access to on the Texas Legislature Online. If y'all been on that, there is a website called the Texas Legislature Online. And you can go on there and read any bill that's been filed. You can track it through the process. You can also go online and watch committee hearings when that bill comes up for a hearing, and watch it if it goes through the floor of the House. Everything is online now, almost in real time. Some of it is in real time, some of it's not. And you can track the history of a bill. We have a service that's a private service, very similar to that, but also allows us to create tracking lists and track individual pieces of legislation, and that list will grow to, I'm guessing, around 700 or 800 bills just this session alone. That's just in education. There'll probably be close to somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 bills filed overall in this legislative session. So it's a massive undertaking. I'm sorry? Man, that's a good question, which I could find out on my service if I wanted to, because they do track that. Probably 20%, maybe even up to 30% overall of the bills make it out of committee, but it depends on the session, really.
Well, that's why it's important to track it. So
that's correct.
It is important so they try to get that.
That's correct. We spend as much time trying to keep things in committee from the left. You know, we lobby on, your lobbying interests obviously are going to be much more focused on technology issues and public education. Our lobby interests are anything in education. So we spend a lot of time fighting bad legislation. Today is the 23rd day of the legislature, and nothing has happened yet, which is good, because nothing bad has happened yet. That's the way that we look at it. And unfortunately, if you get involved in advocacy, you really have to watch the cynicism button, because it'll go off a lot. The paranoid button goes off sometimes too, but mostly you just become a cynic. But you can get some great experience and some serious satisfaction out of becoming an advocate, especially in the public school area. I certainly do. The first thing up there that it says is elections. Why would we talk about elections? Well, I'll tell you why. Because what I've learned, I started in this business as a very young, very idealistic son of teachers who believed that he was going to go in and save every child in the state of Texas and make sure that they get everything that they need for public education. And I believe that you went to the legislature and you got that done. And what I've learned through the years is what happens in November determines what happens in May. In other words, what I'm telling you is if you get involved in advocacy and it gets in your blood, prepare, because you're then going to be involved in elections, you're going to be involved in politics, and because you can't not be if you really want to be successful. I'll give you an example at the end that deals with the State Board of Education of how that really applies. But what I've learned is the people, if you don't have a person who's been elected who believes like you do or enough like you that they will listen to you as your constituent, then you're going to have a really hard time getting them to do what they want. So that's why we spend a lot of time training our members how to get involved in the political process. So take the long-term view. If you're going into this legislative session and you believe that we're going to get the technology allotment to $200, I'm telling you, I believe with you. I'm right there with you, and I want it to happen. I do. But if it doesn't happen and we get it to, what is it, $38 now or something like that? If we get it to $42, guess what? That's success. That's a major success. And you have to learn how to think about what is success and then go out and find the people that are going to help you bring success later on. Okay.
Can you give us why it's good not to? And then
ATPE has chosen, our members have chosen not to endorse candidates, okay? We do have a political action committee. We make contributions to candidates who support public education. But we don't provide our name as an endorsement. So if a legislator goes out and they're running for election, a candidate, and they say, oh, ATPE has endorsed my candidacy, then I find myself having to go to that person and say, no, we haven't. Is that good or bad? It depends. It really depends. Many, many advocacy groups endorse legislators. In my opinion, especially in the area of public education, it's not the way we do it is right, because public education is political, but it's not necessarily partisan, and you can find yourself endorsing only one party or becoming very partisan if you begin to endorse candidates. You can support people from both parties because they're going to support some portion of your program. But that's on into advanced political participation, and y'all may contribute to political action committees and get involved in that on your own already. It is important to get involved in politics and work for people that you believe in their elections, because they'll remember that and they'll call you when they need your, when they're going to make a decision. When you have here's how we on legislative proposals find the people that support you. Okay, Senator Shapley obviously supports you. I assume that you like his bill, so he's what we would call a friendly. So that's a person that you could go to. If you don't have a lobby team and a lobbyist who's going to help you, because you're going to help him, he may help you understand the legislative process. He may help you find other people and coalitions out there that are going to help you get his bill passed and also get more into education. People on the legislative committees, obviously, that oversee education, that's the Senate Education Committee and the House Public Education Committee. For example, ATP hasn't filed any legislation yet. And the reason we haven't is we're waiting until the House Public Education Committee is named, because we would much rather have someone who's on the committee file our legislation. And then we'll match it up with someone in the Senate. Because, obviously, those folks have some stroke in public education, and that's who we want to be carrying our stuff. And then, yes, ma'am.
Part of Shapley's bill,
that you don't like.
We totally support the part about where it talks about taking the technology allotment and the instructional materials money and blending it.
Okay.
So when you talk to Safe about, you're saying that's when you need to sit down with the staff and say, we, you know, we agree with this, but we have some trouble with this. Is there a reason why you wrote it that way, or?
That's a really, that is a really good example. I'm glad you brought that up. Because who is going to be affected the most by his piece of legislation? You are. And so if he's not willing to listen to you, then you know something right there is you got a problem. You may want to start looking for somebody else to carry your version of what you want. Or at least talk to somebody else who might be able to provide an amendment if that bill was to go forward, let's say. But yes, I think that when you see someone who has obviously got some interest in your issue, that's the time to go meet with them. Absolutely. Send a delegation to see him. If you have, he is the senator from the El Paso area. So if you have members in the El Paso area, it's very good to send people to see them in their districts to talk about legislation. And as soon as you can do that, since the session's already started, the sooner you can do that, the better in this case. And this last part about forming coalitions, if you've watched the legislature since 2003, you've seen that really public education has been under attack in many ways. And I can tell you as one group in a huge coalition of groups that all support public education, from administrator groups to curriculum groups to other teacher groups and parent groups, when we've come together and put our differences aside, we've been able to keep stuff from happening that nobody believed we could keep from happening. The best example of that is private school vouchers. Since 1993, one man in this state has spent $100 million that we know of to try to get private school vouchers passed. We formed a coalition in 1997 called the Coalition for Public Schools that has an annual budget of $25,000 and about 40 groups. And we have beat vouchers, sometimes by one vote, sometimes by a tie vote, every session since it first came up in 1995 was really the first time. How did we do that? We used the power of the people. We used 40 groups from all different spectrums, everyone from the Christian Life Commission to, believe it or not, the Eagle Forum, the supposed to vouchers, to the National Federation of Jewish Women, to the teacher groups, anyone who had the same idea as us. We put all our other differences aside, we got together, and we made a difference, even against these kinds of odds and this kind of money that was backed up against us. And that's happened on lots of different issues as well. So if you can find people who agree with you, get together with them, because the coalition will make a lot more noise in the legislature than one group. And then communicate and follow up frequently. It's easy stuff, like I said. But if you don't follow up with those legislators, like I said, there's 7,000 pieces of legislation that they're going through. Okay? Yours is important, but so is everybody else's. And they have to listen to everybody. That's their job, especially if you live in their district. So follow up with them a lot. It's really important. Now I'm just going to talk a little bit, and we're going to go through these pretty fast because I want to have some more discussion. But I want to just talk about how we do it. We have a legislative program, just like you do, and it's really what we use as our Bible, as a lobby team. Our lobby team, by the way, we have our executive director, our governmental relations director, that's me, three lobbyists who specialize in different issues and different houses of the legislature, and we have two paid consultant lobbyists, one who focuses on Washington and one who focuses on Austin. He also happens to be a longtime educator and legislator. His name is Bill Haley, and he was the chairman of the Public Education Committee 25 years ago when they passed House Bill 72, if you remember that, which gave us elementary school class size limits. And 25 years later, a senator from Houston has filed a bill to get rid of elementary school class size limits. So we're back to fighting that battle again this session. Isn't that interesting? But we're lucky to have that kind of experience. He also was a school teacher for 12 years before he got into the legislature. So we have a pretty well-seasoned lobby team, and that's how we do it. I'm on the wrong one, sorry. But what we use, our members develop our program. They vote on it, they tell us what they want, that's what we use. That's how we determine what we're going to go after and what we're going to defend, and whether we're going to support or oppose the bills that come before us that have to do with public education. Okay, so we start with a program, which you have. Then we take that program and then further narrow it down to priorities. Looking at your program, yours is already pretty well prioritized. We have a much larger program that contains about 40 different positions, and each one of those positions has sub-positions, and so it's a much larger program. So the way we do that is we look out and we spend a lot of time gathering input about what is going to be, what are going to be the big issues this time. For example, this session, the legislature is going to modify the entire accountability system for public schools. It's going to be the piece of the policy piece of education legislation this time. We've spent 2 years studying that along with the legislative select committee. So we know that's going to be a priority. So we have made that a priority. We've come up with, we've had our members approve what it is we're going to do as that piece of legislation goes through. And we've drafted legislation. Now when it says draft legislation, that means you have some, I don't want to get too stuck into the details, but I think that what I've observed, and the people that are in this room, you are probably at the point that you're ready to have some legislation to follow or draft your ideas into legislation. Well, don't take all of that on yourself, okay? You can hire somebody who can do that for you, or you can try to do it yourself. But there is an entity in the legislature called the Texas Legislative Council. And every bill that goes through the legislature eventually goes through that team of about 200 lawyers, and they redraft the legislation. So if you have an idea, if you just know what your idea is, so if you took your program in there and you found a legislator that was interested in your deal on the technology allotment and gave that to them and told them what you wanted, they can have the legislation drafted for you. You don't have to feel like you have to be a master drafter of legislation to participate in this process. But a lot of what our time is spent doing is finding out just exactly what we're expecting and trying to look ahead and be proactive about what is our response going to be if, for example, someone files a bill to get rid of class size limits. So we have to try to get ahead of those things and know what our priorities are ahead of time. So we got a program, we got priorities, then we talk about strategies, okay? And that's what I was kind of talking about there before. There are lots of different ways to kill a bill. There are a few ways to get a bill passed. And if you read up on Texas history, you'll find out that the framers of our Constitution made it that way on purpose because they want limited government. So you need to know that going in. It's much easier to kill a piece of legislation and make it go away than it is to get one passed. But you don't have to necessarily file it, go through the committee process, go through all the rigmarole to get it in a piece of legislation either. If you have an idea, you can always amend it into a bill in any steps along the way that we were talking about. You just have to know the right people. So again, what this comes back to is relationships. I can tell you right now, that is what advocacy really is. Advocacy sometimes is getting loud, getting a big group of people to get loud. It's staying on message, knowing what you're talking about, having communication systems. But in the end, it comes back to, do you know the person who's going to make the decision, and are they on your side? And if they're not, can you scare them enough so that they will be? That's a lot of what this has to do with. Although I have found that you really do get more flies with honey. So if you know people and you have a good relationship with them and you can talk with them about your differences, then lots of times you can come to an agreement about your differences and compromise and get what's part of what you want in each and every 2 year session. So if what I'm saying is that making sense to what to y'all right now, I want to make sure. So when we talk about those strategies, that's what we're talking about. So what we do, we take a program, we prioritize it, then we start to think about who is it that is going to be in a position to help us. How can we help them help us? Okay? We find legislators who want to help us, and then we try to help them help us. And then we engage in intelligence gathering. Okay, what does that mean? Well, We try as much as possible to use our members for that. It's taken years of training, but we have some members now that really have developed relationships with their legislators. I mean, when you got somebody who has taught somebody's three children as they've gone through their classroom and they know them as a parent, and now they've gone and talked with them about an issue for long enough that this person knows, they know what they're talking about, then that person is the one you want gathering your information for you. So don't forget about your members, because many of them have go to church with legislators or their staff. They know something about what's going on. They just may not be tapping into that information gathering. Okay? It's amazing, you know about in schools how rumors fly. Well, I can tell you that, believe it or not, I can say something in a meeting at ATPE, which is by Highland Mall in Austin, and go down to the legislature 3 hours later and people already know it. How does that happen? I don't know. But I'm telling you, there are more rumors around a legislative session. It thrives on it. So be careful about that, because you're going to hear things like, I've heard different people who are going to be the chairman of appropriations to the point where, who cares? Okay? Committees may come out tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. Or it might be the next day. You know, it changes every day. Just be careful about rumors, but do gather as much information as you can about what is actually going on. What that means is the legislative process has specific steps that things have to go through. Okay? A House bill goes through committees. Well, but it also has to go through the calendars committee. A lot of people don't know about that, so that it can be scheduled on the House floor. But what really makes things move? Is it the process, or is it the people behind the process and what they're going through at the time? It's the people behind the process. It's the politics behind the process. So the more you know about those politics, the more able you are to know how successful you're going to be. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay. Okay, now. Yes, ma'am.
And I understand education and higher ed, state
affairs. That's on there because that committee handles any legislation that deals with the teacher's retirement system. And so for our members, that's a very important committee. A committee that's not on there that's probably the most important committee is Senate Finance, because they handle the budget. In fact, they had a hearing today, and that our lobbyists testified before the committee today, because they had the first hearing on the Texas Education Agency budget today in the Senate Finance Committee. I just wanted to show you also this, just kind of demonstrates it's a continuum. This is how we have an email network of our members, and we've been working on it for about 10 years, and we send out an update, and that update then flows out to legislators. They talk to us, we talk back to them. So it really does happen that way, and that's how we use our communication system to really get the most out of it. In other words, it's not just here's some information for you today. No. We have people that really work hard to take that information, share it with their entire campus or their entire school district in some cases, depending upon the policy of the school district, and then gauge the effects and give us that back. You know, oh, my superintendent saw your message today and he has something he wants to share with you. I gain a lot of information that's feedback from the kind of a continuous loop. Then sometimes at certain points during that process we were talking about, so let's say the class size bill has now been scheduled to go to the Senate floor and we know it's going to be heard next Wednesday. Well, we back up from that time and we start, that's when we send out what we call the alert. And the alert says, we have a separate system that allows you to email through the system, I think similar to what you have here, and or phone call your legislator. Our email system even allows us to see what it is people are sending, because we don't want people to be sending nasty stuff, to be honest with you. And it also allows us to count how many emails are going to a specific legislator on an issue. Phone calls, not necessarily so. I still think phone calls are very effective on things like that. So the bill is up today. All of a sudden, the phones are shut down at the Capitol. That gets people's attention. Uh-oh. Maybe we better not vote for this bill to get rid of class sizes because we've got 300,000 teachers on the phone here. And those things are very, very effective. And to the extent that you can use those things judiciously, they're even more effective. Unfortunately, in our case, we have so many groups in education, sometimes that effect is watered down. So we try to be very judicious with our members and just focus on those issues that we know we can make a difference on. Things like teachers' retirement system issues. If you want to get teachers mad, tell them that their retirement system is being raided by the legislature. They will pick up the telephone and call. I learned that one. If you want teachers to get really upset, tell them that the legislature is going to take away their professional rights by watering down their certification standards. They get really upset about that, okay? But what's interesting is they don't get upset when if you tell them, hey, there's a bill about to be heard that will get rid of your contracts as teachers. Why? I don't know. Maybe they don't understand contracts. I don't know. But they don't get fired up about that. But the ones they do get fired up about, they really do make a difference. I've seen it happen. I've walked into offices when the phones were ringing and the people were scowling at me until I left. So it does make a difference. I just wanted to show you that little illustration. Let's move on. The virtual school bill?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know personally, you're working directly with the chair of the committee. He was going to be saying, well, what about this? What about this?
It does. That's right. It took a while, and that's another thing. Don't expect your stuff to get done immediately. If it does, you got real lucky. It was going to happen anyway. So the most important rules that I try to get across to everybody are, first of all, and this one's a hard one to teach to teachers, unfortunately, but maybe not so much to your group. You are the expert in education, okay? Believe it. You know more about technology education than anybody else. And you should be respected for that. And if you find that the person that is elected to represent you is not respecting you for that, then that tells you something. You either have a lot of work to do or it's time to close the door on that person. And sometimes that happens. But it takes a little finding out. But remember that you really are the expert. But because you are, you better know your facts. Okay? Know what you're talking about. Don't let yourself get moved off into things that you don't know about. Don't answer questions that you don't know the answer to. If you don't know the answer to a question you should know the answer to, offer to get back with a person. So let's say you've gone to see your legislator and that you're talking to their staff and they say, what was the technology allotment in 1992? There wasn't one then, but you don't remember. Just don't answer the question. Say, I don't know, but I can find out and I'll get back with you. Tell the plain, simple truth. I hear a lot of people who testify. I hear a lot of people who, even in conversations, they want to sound like they know a little bit more than other people. And I can see that happening in technology. I can see where, because I've talked to people in technology. I don't understand it, okay? Assume that I'm the person you're talking to. Assume that your legislator knows nothing. And just talk in plain, simple language. And tell them the real truth. Here's what is happening in my school district. You don't understand that when you require that all tests are going to be given on the computer, it doesn't work. We don't have the technology that we need, and even if we did have it, it still doesn't work unless you give us some time to let it work. What does that mean? Okay, let's start over again. The legislature has required that all tests, the tax test, you know about that, right? Okay, is going to be given on the computer. They have? We did that? Yes, you did. But you didn't provide us any money for it. Oh my gosh. Now, can you imagine what it would be like if I have 100 high school students in a room who are trying to take a computer on a test and the computer goes down? Oh. So paint them a picture. Tell them, look, this is really happening to me. And I know you don't mean to do it, Okay? You want to help these kids, just like I do. But it's not working. So let me see if we can find a better way to make that work. Whereas I've seen a lot of people that get angry. If you get angry, you're going to get anger back. If you talk above someone's head, you're not going to get what you want. And in fact, you may get something you didn't want that the person provided, believing you did want it. I've seen that happen lots of times. So one thing I talk about with, for example, my lobbyists that are going to have to testify probably 200 times in this next legislative session, okay? Because every bill that comes up, if we have an interest in it, we need to get up and say, we support this bill because, we oppose this bill because. And what we try to do is not get mad, not get incensed, but to say, we oppose this bill, but let me tell you why. Because currently the law says this, and the effect that that has out in schools is this, if we know what that effect is. Now, if you make this change, we're concerned that the effect is going to be this. Very simple, plain, here's what's happening now, here's what's going to happen then. Then they may or may not make the change, but you've explained exactly what it is that they need to know. And that's really important. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want, though, okay? But be professional, okay? I say okay too much, I noticed that. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. That's something I also see educators do a lot, because educators are very accommodating people. We want to help. We want to help kids, we want to help you, we want to help everybody. But if we don't tell them, look, if I don't get a pay raise in the next couple of years, I'm going to have to leave education. It's not because I want to, it's because I have to. So I want a pay raise, and I deserve a pay raise because I'm doing a really good job. I'm meeting your goals. Look at the tax scores. That's what you want, right? You want those tax scores to go up? They are. We get a lot of flack. People say that we're not doing a good job, but look at the data. So I do want a pay raise, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't. Tell them what you want, but know your facts. And don't yell at them. Don't call them names. Don't be unprofessional. And people do that. And anybody can do that, too, because some of these issues are very emotional. Your work is very emotional to you. What you're doing for those kids with those computers in those classrooms is an emotional issue. And because I know a little bit about it, I can tell you that you're very frustrated because nobody really understands what it is that you're doing with those kids and those computers and those classrooms, or how little you have to do what it is you really want to do. So it's an emotional thing, and you can get emotional very quickly with that. Be really careful about it, though. Be professional. Talk in the right terms. In fact, the handout that I've given you that talks about writing your legislators, on the back of that is a long list of do's and don'ts. Communication do's and don'ts that we've gathered over the years for you to use. And I still use that sometimes. If I'm going into a really tense meeting with someone, I look back at that and I think, okay, now be simple, be plain, don't do this, don't do that, do this. And it's easy stuff, but it's easy to get out of it because it's an emotional issue. So ask for what you want, but you're probably not going to get everything you want. The legislature has been compared to making sausage. And that's a lot what it's like. You throw everything into the sausage grinder and you grind it all up and something comes out the other end. You try to get part of the sausage to be what you want. And if you've gotten that, sometimes you have to redefine success. Like I said earlier, the technology allotment going up $5 this time is certainly not going up to $200, but it's better than what you had before. That's a success. Tell your members you did a good job, because if you don't tell them that they did a good job when they're responding to your new email service, then they won't do it anymore. Okay, so be willing to redefine success, and most importantly, keep your integrity. Politics is a dirty business. My daddy says, do not get down in the mud and wallow like a pig, because you'll become one. Always stay above it, even if you think you're losing because of it. That is more important than anything else, I believe, in this system. Because the minute that the Texas Computer Educators Association gets a bad name, then you just lost all credibility. It's going to take you years of working just on your credibility before you can get back to talking about what the kids need in technology. And I know we're almost out of time, but I want to give you just one good example of that that's part of that you probably know about. The language arts community, the education community that deals with the English language arts curriculum, if you paid attention to what happened this last summer. I worked with them for about 2 years, kind of behind the scenes. Others were working with them too, but I happened to be sort of in the middle of that. And they did everything right, y'all. They did everything right. They remained above the fray. They did their homework. They knew their facts. They presented their facts over and over again to the State Board of Education. And I just have not seen very many groups do things as well as they did them. When asked to, they went back and redid everything, redid the whole entire curriculum the way that they were asked to do it. They took it back out to the profession. They brought it back to the State Board of Education. In the end, the State Board of Education did not do what they wanted them to do. And in fact, not only did they not vote the way they should have, which was to follow the advice of the experts, they deliberately treated them awful, switched it around at the end. Then, after they voted against them, the ones who did, some of them went out and called them names in the paper. So they got spanked and were just nasty about it. And the reason I wanted to tell you about that is because I worked with some of the leaders of that group who were devastated, as well they should be devastated, because they worked for 2 solid years of their lives to do the right thing. And they were willing to compromise, and they did, and they still got burned by a group that never intended in the first place to do the right thing. And that is a very frustrating thing. But I speak to that group quite a bit. And what I've talked with them about is, you still won. You had a major success because I can go around and tell, and you can go around and tell people that you did it the right way, and you can show that you did it the right way. You maintained your professionalism. You made those people really literally did waller down the mud, and you did, and you should be proud of that. So that's a definition of success to me. It really is. Because in the end, we're going to win. And those people on the State Board of Education were never going to do the right thing to start with, because that's not what they were elected to do. Okay? Their session, their meetings had nothing to do with doing the right thing for kids. It had to do with why were they elected in the first place? To wreak havoc on public education. That's why they were elected. That's the people who were funding their campaigns. So once you know that, then you can sort of change your tactics and just try to do what you can with what you got. But I really think that you guys, I've looked at this, this is a great legislative program. It is not too much. It's just enough. It's easy to talk about, although you might want to change ubiquitous access of digital content to a smaller word. I bet you do love that word, and I love that word as well. But I looked at this, and I really think you have some great things to offer here that are easy to package and easy to stay on message with. So I would suggest that you try to do your best to form some type of lobby team, whether it's the people in this room, a committee that you have, paid staff people, and take these things and go forward with them. Report back to your members. This text hand, is this a two-way network? So you're going to, can you send out stuff, reports and stuff, or is it just a communications device for people who want to use it? I haven't been on there, so I don't know. It does?
Yeah,
the listserv? Okay. Communicate frequently with the people whose email addresses that you have and let them know what's out there. And that will eventually, you'll build, it takes a few years, you'll build up a cadre of folks out there who are really interested in the advocacy part of this. Not so much, not necessarily the technology, education technology part, but the advocacy part. Those advocates are like gold, man. They are like gold. Because you can always rely on them to respond to your alerts, to spread the message out there of what you're doing, because that's where your power is. And it just takes a while. So I would suggest that you try to either through your website, we use our website and our email network, and we just mirror those. We send out an email, we put it on the website. And there's a group out there that always looks at it. And then there's some that sometimes look at it. And that really makes a difference. And I would suggest that you really try to do that and keep up with what's happening in this session. And I really think we also have a good chance to get some money for technology this time. I do think so. It may roll through the formulas. It may not be a specific technology allotment, but there may be some requirement that a certain amount is spent on technology. So I spent all the time talking about all this stuff. I hope I've given you something that you needed. Are there any questions about advocacy or issues in the legislature right now? It's 4:52 right now.
She was asking about what should we do to our own email systems and things like that. I think it has to do more with your local policy.
Yes, that's most school districts. We use school district email addresses all the time, but we are very, very careful about that and only send out information that we know will not violate any state policies. But most of that has to do with political advertising. You can send almost anything that has to do with support this bill, that's fine. You just can't say support this candidate.
Right, you can't campaign.
That's correct.
But you can ask for support for
bills. Proposals, funding, anything that has to do with an issue that's before the legislature. Then, you know, what we just rely on, if a school district wants to filter that information, that they're going to filter it. And some do and some don't. And then we always put at the bottom of our emails a little message that says, and there's also a message that we put on there about political advertising, even when it's not. But we put a message on there many times that says, please follow your school district's policy about forwarding this email. Some school districts allow you to forward the email to everybody in the district. Some only to your members. It varies by school district. But I don't have a problem sending an email out to school district emails because I think the filters catch the things that are not supposed to be sent.
What about when you go and you speak before the House committee? Mm-hmm. I've gone and I've signed in before the bill and I've signed in that I'm speaking
as an individual citizen, you can be for or against anything you want to be for or against. You do need to be careful if you're saying you're for or against something in representing your school district, unless you get your school district to sanction that.
But if he is in support of that, that is okay to do that.
Well, I would still. If I were you and I would do it as an individual or as a member of TCEA or another group that you're a member of, but if you're going to speak for your school district, I would always try to get the direct permission of someone who can give that permission. Does that make sense? Okay. Is there any more? I hope I've given you something that you can take away from here today. The main thing is, thank you for letting me come speak to you. There's nothing that gives me more pleasure. I mean, I love this, okay? I love it when educators want to get involved in this process. It's what I do my job for, and I really enjoy my job. So if I can ever help you in any way, you have but to email me, and my email is bgregg, G-R-E-G-G, @atpe.org, and I'll get it on my BlackBerry, which is one piece of technology that I can use. I can't figure it out, but I can use it. And I'll respond to you, and I'll help you in any way. I don't see anything in your legislative program that ATPE would not also advocate for. So I'd be happy to do what we can to help your agenda forward. And as far as legislators go, some of the friendlies, you probably already know who they are, but I would tell you that obviously Senator Shapley and Hochberg, who brought forward the technology pilot, Representative Strama knows a whole lot about technology. He's good at it. Representative Eisler has got a lot of knowledge, and he wants to. He has a lot of desire to get technology in schools and to do it the right way. And there are some folks that you can really go to that will understand your language and be able to translate that into legislative language and speak for you if your issues come up. Is there no more questions? Well, thank you. Yes. That's almost the whole committee. That's five members of the committee. They're expanding the committee, by the way.
It's
Strama.
Yeah.
They're expanding the committee to 11 in the House. It's been 9 forever. They're going to have 11 members of it. But that's a great showing. It really is. Representative Branch also is, he understands the needs out there, and I think he really understands technology. He understands school finance, too, and that's not common.
We've been dabbling in writing our first legislation, and we're working with
Branch
on the committee to deal with the flexibility of the
textbook issue. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking that he may have filed something on that, or he said something about filing something on that. Okay. I don't understand all your, please look, I don't understand all your issues, but I think I agree with them. I wish you all luck, and I'm here to help if you need my help, and thank you very much. Appreciate it.